This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We were not going to release any quarterbacks with respect to 75, so I haven't had a discussion about the quarterback position at all. We kind of go through it by position, how many do we need to have to play in the Chargers game? You don't want to leave yourself short, like only have three receivers going into the game. You could have some injuries and things like that, so we haven't had any discussions about the quarterback position so far.
So that's where it stands with Colin Kaepernick. The police in San Francisco, however, react. They didn't appreciate the gig they got from the San Fran signal caller. That was the voice of Chip Kelly, the coach of the 49ers, who keeps being asked what's happening with him and will this affect whether or not he's cut. And as they make those cuts, of course, he's saying, no, it won't affect the cuts, whatsoever. That remains to be seen what his role is with the team. He may be the backup. He may be the starter. It could be Blaine Gabbert, who is perhaps a little bit better than Kaepernick right now, just because of the arm strength of Kaepernick, but we'll see. Regardless, it is absolutely not about athleticism. It's about sitting down when the national anthem is being played. So this is what I wondered. With all the brouhaha and reaction over a professional football player talking about dead black people in the street and saying that some people are getting paid leave, which of course is a direct comment to the police, I wondered how long it would take somebody to react from the police point of view. And that's exactly what happened in San Francisco. In San Francisco, they say these are just foolish statements. Why isn't the NFL denouncing them? Because they say, listen, it's our security that protects these players when they're coming in and out of stadiums and when they're coming off the field and just all the way around the game. So in case you're not aware of what happened, he sat on the bench during the national anthem before his preseason game this past weekend. Afterwards, he was asked about it. He said specifically, this is a quote, "To me, it's bigger than football. It'd be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street, people getting paid leave and getting away with murder." So the San Francisco Police Officers Association called the 49ers and the NFL and said, you got to denounce this guy. You got to separate yourself from what he's saying. And the organization is saying that they acknowledge his right to speak his point of view, but they say they also recognize the organization's ability to denounce his statements and separate themselves from his actions. Ooh. So I'm sure the NFL, which immediately released a statement saying they don't have suspensions for, it's up to a person whether they stand for a national anthem or not. I'm sure they're not liking the fact that they're getting called on the carpet to react and to not just stand by while Kaepernick does what he does. And one of the things that was pointed out in the San Francisco letter from the police was that Kaepernick could comment on the murder of 40 police officers in the United States in the past few months or the assaults perpetrated on over 100,000 law enforcement officers in the past year. Or perhaps he could lend his commentary to the over 8,000 murders that African Americans inflicted on one another in 2015. And then this last piece, the law enforcement community cannot be continuously blamed for all of society's problems, including racial divide in our country. It isn't fair. It isn't true. That's what they're saying. So the 49ers, the NFL, they haven't said anything since that statement came out. But I think they have a point. They have a point to the fact that they're always the bad guys, but what about some of the good guys? It's true. So I can't blame the San Francisco Police Officers Association for being upset and writing a note to the head of the 49ers, to the president and the CEO, and to the NFL commissioner, and to Colin Kaepernick himself. Because where is the other side of this? It's missing. And isn't that part of the problem? There is a problem, but we always try to take this broad brush and paint it across a group of people for the actions of some. Here's the biggest revelation of all and the biggest buzz in the land, I think, is the fact that if you haven't heard, get ready for this. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to sit down. Donald Trump has a big immigration speech on Wednesday in Arizona. A lot of people are excited to hear what he has to say. In fact, they had to get a bigger venue because of the expected crowd. Now, before he arrives for that speech, he's traveling to Mexico City to meet with the Mexican president, Enrique Peña Nieto, hours before that speech in Arizona on immigration. It could be a stroke of brilliance or not. If it's the or not, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to hurt Donald Trump, but he could get a piece of information that he could bring back and share on that stage, which is, I think, what he's thinking. He even tweeted out that he accepted the invitation of the president of Mexico and looked forward to meeting him. By the way, the president of Mexico extended the invitation to both Trump and to Hillary Clinton. The Clinton campaign hasn't announced whether or not she's going to do it. So many people wanted to hear what Trump had to say about immigration that he's doing his address on the stage of the Phoenix Convention Center to outline his plan to address the plight of the more than 11 million illegal immigrants in the United States. He softened his stance perhaps a little bit, but not terribly. He said there is no path to legalization unless people leave the country. And he said he's going to remove criminal illegal immigrants from the country, period. So he's on. Game on. And, you know, one of his proposals includes building a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border, ending sanctuary cities, offering no amnesty, like I mentioned, for immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. In fact, his campaign person, clearly Kellyanne Conway, has been talking about Clinton's proposals on immigration as scary as heck and a radical plan. Trump is trailing Clinton by about 6 percentage points nationally, give or take. Wow. I can't wait to hear what he says in Arizona coming off of that visit in Mexico. All right, we're shaking things up. We rock into another segment here of America Tonight.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-914-6977. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-914-6977. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-914-6977. That's 1-800-914-6977.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Interesting. We're going to talk to a couple of people that had a big impact on me when we talked to them. Remember the whole Ebola scare? Well, one of the doctors, Dr. Marty Stone, who we talked to, I thought said some unbelievable things about Ebola and the fact that she was fighting it on the front lines. And what could that possibly be like as a doctor because of what was happening to doctors who were treating patients and how it spreads, saliva, touching a contaminated surface, an animal, insect bite, blood products, all of that, and how scary the whole Ebola virus outbreak was. In fact, the hospital in Dallas where they had the Ebola, they had the nurse that had the Ebola, they took the Ebola patient and the nurse that had the brush with Ebola as well. I spoke at that hospital, and they really went through a crazy publicity nightmare as a result of that. So it was very interesting to talk to her, someone who was on the front lines. Then the next person in our throwback moment talks about net neutrality. On this show, we talked about the dangers of net neutrality. What did net neutrality mean? And it's the basic principle that internet service providers should enable access to all content and applications, regardless of the source and all of that. So the problem is that net neutrality guidelines could lead to other problems. I mean, look, free and open internet, what does that mean? The FCC taking the strongest possible rules, they say, is what they did, they said, to protect net neutrality, which means that internet service providers would have to treat all internet traffic equally. So the wranglings, the loopholes, the problems are very frightening, the implications. And what is ultimately what somebody doesn't understand about net neutrality? And the contested idea of net neutrality. So anyway, huge issue, one that affects us absolutely. So we're in our throwback Wednesday, we're going to talk net neutrality. And that's going to be with Mike Wendy, who has a really interesting take on when it first kicked in and really what we're going to know in a decade. What are we going to see and what is it going to mean in a decade? Here on the network on GCN, we sadly lost a colleague, and it was unexpectedly over the weekend, somebody who had really broken through in talk radio as an advice doctor. Her name was Dr. Joy Brown. Some of you may be familiar with Dr. Joy Brown. She definitely had a name in syndication, no question about it. In fact, I want you to hear a little piece of Dr. Joy.
Okay, what do you do if you're a divorced woman or divorced parent, and either your kid refuses to come to you, refuses to go to your ex, or you're dating and their kid refuses to come to you or come go to the ex? And the answer is basically kind of wait it out. Don't put the person that you love in the middle between either their ex or their kid, and understand that, that things change, and being cheerful and stupid, especially manipulative kids, which most kids are, really would rather be praised than punished, but they'd rather be punished than ignored. So just ignoring their behavior quite often is incredibly effective. Believe it.
So here's the thing about Dr. Joy, and you heard that's pretty much what she did. She doled out advice and was to the point. She died on Saturday at the age of 71. The exact cause isn't known, but her sister, Alana Sinclair, was on the phone with her and said that she was chatting about movie reviews, because Dr. Joy was into movies, movie reviews, recipes, and a bunch of memories from a recent party for their 95-year-old mother. What, can you imagine, 95-year-old mother, when the phone suddenly disconnected and the sister is saying her heart stopped. So at the time of her death, her long-running talk show had been syndicated to stations across the country by the network you're listening to me on, Ted Anderson's baby, you know, Genesis Communications Network. And she had an interesting, you know, background. She launched her talk radio career into syndication from WOR really in the early 90s. And she had a pretty decent roster, a very strong roster of affiliate stations across the country. And, you know, she continued to host this syndicated program with a lot of flair. And she was ranked as number 25 on the Talkers Magazine's 2016 Heavy 100 is one of the most important radio talk shows in America. So they're talking about the memorial for her, and they're saying that friends and admirers of Dr. Joy Brown's would most likely be encouraged to make donations in her memory to her international charitable foundation, which was called Joy to the World. And I think people are just stunned, I guess. You know, whenever anyone dies suddenly, especially, it's just stunning. I mean, it's stunning. It's unexpected. She's talking to her sister. She's fine. They're sharing funny stories. And then, you know, she's gone. So she is, we wanted to say something about her. She is somebody who had an impact on the industry. She's somebody that I had met and spoken to many, many times, and she was actually very encouraging to me. So Dr. Joy Brown, you had legions of fans, and we will miss you, whether it was somebody you had a brush with or it was somebody who was just a rabid, rabid fan. So as we move from that and talking about what's coming up on Throwback Wednesday, it's interesting how you look at Ebola and how that gripped us. That was buzzworthy, shocking. And then you look at net neutrality, and that was buzzworthy and confusing. Both very, very big stories. And where are they now? Ebola, we're not even talking about it. It still exists, but we're on to Zika. West Nile almost is in the rearview mirror, although there's still many cases of West Nile. And when you think you're not going to get one of these viruses, I got a note from a friend. Her daughter was in camp, and I actually wrote a note to her and said I hadn't seen her in a while, and how was she doing? And she has a young daughter who went off to camp and got a norovirus. And it was quick and short, and other kids had developed it too. Then it came back. She had stomach pains. They wouldn't go away. They went to a pediatric gastro. She's suffering. She's missed almost the whole school year. Upper GIs, x-rays, sonograms. She's only 11 years old. So my good friend, her mother, is, of course, a wreck and doing everything she can to figure out how they can help her daughter. And the note she wrote to me, she talked about most people recovering easily and quickly from it, but she's not. She was saying that her abdominal lymph nodes were swollen, and anytime she eats or drinks, it hurts. Wow. That's why you just never know. And norovirus is something that we have talked about on this show, too, as well. Welcome to Throwback Wednesday. Enjoy.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details. Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 79cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 79cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income, and you can get the loan you need now. Regardless of your credit, go to 79cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 79cash.com. Type www.79cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 79cash.com. 79cash.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend's Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
To America Tonight. Very pleased to welcome to the show Dr. Mardia Stone, who is an international health expert who just actually came back from Liberia working with the government at the epicenter of this deadly epidemic that we've been talking about, and concerned about what's happening here in the U.S. and concerned about what's happening, obviously, over in Liberia and what's going on with the experimental drug ZMapp and producing that. And she's got quite a story to tell. Dr. Stone, thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So you were there, and you went into communities that were quarantined because of Ebola, and you met with 80 Ebola survivors who didn't get that ZMapp. What did they tell you? How did they survive this?
Well, I didn't meet with 80 people altogether. There are over 100 people now who actually survived Ebola. But basically, most of them, when they became ill, showed up at the treatment center early enough to get the kind of care that they needed. Because, the treatment for, there's no cure for Ebola, but the treatment is individualized because it depends on what kind of symptoms you're manifesting. So if you have a high fever, they treat that. If you're vomiting, they treat that. Whatever your symptoms are is what they treat. And the earlier you get there, the better it is. So they, literally described what happened, how they felt, mostly starting off with a high fever that was unrelenting and perspiring profusely and having a very, very severe headache. So most of them started with that kind of symptom.
Wow.
People were just terrified, really terrified about catching Ebola, because you don't know who has it, and somebody can be exposed and manifest the disease at any moment, and you don't know who has it. So people are really terrified.
How are the families dealing with the devastating diagnosis when you said they're terrified of Ebola because they see how many people aren't surviving from this. What did you see among those who were survivors?
Well, one of the things, a lot of them were concerned about stigmatization because people really, even though they were tested negative for Ebola before they left the hospital, people were just afraid to be around them. And a lot of them, their families didn't even want them to come back home. You know, so they had this kind of stigmatization and discrimination against them. And for them, it was like, you know, you survive Ebola, but yet and still, people are not embracing. You know, they're not happy that you survived. They're just terrified of you coming in their midst. And so that was one of the things that survivors were experiencing. I talked to one of them a few days ago in Liberia, and he was saying that the stigmatization problem has not changed. People are still afraid of people who have survived, and people really still don't want to be around people who have survived because they don't believe that, you know, you're actually well, completely well, and that at any given moment you may reinfect them. I mean, you may infect them because you could become reinfected, which is not so, because, you know, people who survive have developed antibodies that protect them against secondary infections with Ebola. So once you have survived, you know, your likelihood of getting Ebola again is very, 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 very slim to none.
Yeah, Dr. Stone, is this why they're treating the one nurse in Dallas with somebody who survived Ebola with the blood from that patient because of the antibodies, I suppose? Is that the reason why?
Right. Right. Yes, that's the reason why. Because, you know, the first people who did this kind of experiment was way back in 1976. The Africans in Zaire at that time, people were dying so quickly, and for those who survived, they decided to transfuse the blood of people who had survived in those that manifested the signs and symptoms of Ebola, and it worked. And Western physicians and scientists were telling them, don't do this, don't do that, it's not going to work, but it worked. And so this is why now, you know, they can actually save more lives by transfusing blood into people.
Yeah. The ZMAP, in talking about people who survived without getting the ZMAP, and now there is the crush of scientists who are using other experimental drugs and trying to produce the company producing the ZMAP. And yet some people will say, well, the ZMAP is, we don't know for sure, but it seems as though the few doses that were there helped the people. Tell us about ZMAP and what you think its effectiveness is.
Well, one really does not know whether those who survived actually survived because of ZMAP. Because, for example, with Ken Brantley, he was having supportive care before he got the ZMAP. But my understanding is that, you know, from what the story he tells is that from the minute he got the ZMAP, he could literally feel the difference in his recovery. So it's possible that it worked, but it's possible also that all of the other care he was getting, the hydration, treating every symptom that he had, probably is what saved him as well. Because, you know, there are over 100 people who did not have ZMAP, who didn't have any experimental anything, and they survived because they got to the treatment center early enough that they were given the supportive treatment that kept them alive. So the key is get to the center early enough, get to the treatment facility early enough, get to the hospital early enough if you start manifesting symptoms, because the sooner you get there and, you know, and the sooner they start treating your symptoms, the more likely you are to survive.
Yeah. Dr. Stone, you were, as I mentioned at the top, obviously you were in Liberia. You're an international health expert, and you've been in epidemic spots before, I suppose. Did you, you know, with now we're talking about what you're supposed to wear and the CDC saying the nurse must have somehow messed up because there's just no way with all the gear and the protective gear that she would have caught Ebola. But is that true? Because isn't there little things that could happen where you don't realize what you've done, even in just touching your eye or something, I guess?
Yes. One of the critical things about the protective gear is that, you know, you're protecting yourself when you go into an area where somebody is acutely ill with Ebola. But the critical thing is taking it off, because most of the people who have gotten infected, who had protective gear on, got infected in the process of taking it off. And the reason for that is because, you know, the when you're in close proximity to an infected person, the virus may get on your protective gear. So when you go to take it off, usually, at least in Liberia, they spray you with a highly concentrated chlorinated solution. You know, they spray all over you with this stuff, and then you take it off, because you can touch the garment as you take it off and not realize that you have touched some area where some kind of infective fluid was. And, you know, you go to touch it, you take it off, and you go to touch yourself. And you may touch your eye, touch your ear, touch your nose, or touch some part of your body, not realizing that you may have some small amount of this thing on your body, and then you get infected. So it is the taking it off, which is specific. You've got to take it off in such a way that you don't touch any part of your body as you're taking this thing off. And then, of course, it's discarded after you take it off. So yes, indeed, people get infected because they don't take off the garment properly.
Mm. What was the toughest thing about this whole latest trip for you and seeing the devastation and, as you said, the stigmatism that people were feeling? What was the hardest thing about this?
Well, the thing was that it is a change in lifestyle, a change in the way people relate to each other. Liberians are people who love to embrace and touch each other. And the public health message is don't touch, don't hug, don't shake hands, you know. And so people are keeping their distance. People aren't visiting their friends. And it's like a whole new way of living. And then you don't know who may have it. So, you know, everybody is suspect. So everybody is sort of on guard, you know, 24 hours of the day. And so it makes it a very tense way to live. And so, you know, it's intense. It's a very intense environment to be in at this point in time.
Dr. Stone, do you feel confident that with all the people that are helping and trying to get rid of, stomp out Ebola in West Africa, do you feel confident that we'll be able to get this under control?
Well, yes, I feel confident that you can get it under control. But the people have to help themselves. You know, for example, the epidemic in West Africa started in Guinea. Guinea now has the fewest number of cases. And, you know, they're containing the transmission of the virus more effectively than they are in Liberia. Liberia, where the transmission occurred from Guinea, has almost tripled the number of cases that you have in Guinea. And the reason, I believe, is because the people in Liberia are not really listening to the public health messages. And if they are hearing those messages, they're not applying everything that they're being asked to do. For example, the dead body of an Ebola-infected person is equally infectious as the live person. And people are being told, do not touch anybody who is dead, you know, because you can get infected. But because of the traditions and the rituals, the traditional rituals surrounding burial, people in villages and towns are still trying to bury the dead.
Wow. Dr. Stone, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Getting over the shock of what happened with this whole net neutrality. I mean, first of all, the FCC is throwing out issuing that 400-page order. And, I mean, it's just crazy. Is this anti-speech? Is this nuttiness? Where are we living? And, you know, we've had this discussion here on the air for a long time. And we kept saying, be careful, look under the lid, do what you can. But what can you do? The FCC ultimately had the vote. We've got Mike Wendy on with us, president of MediaFreedom.org. Mike, thanks for coming back on with us. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So take me back to your reaction to what happened.
Well, I mean, we've been watching this sort of a train wreck or car wreck happening for really the past 10 years, but certainly this summer things really turned into overdrive. And where we thought, I think, in May of last year that we might have a bad rule, but just a bad rule. Last week we saw a 400-page novel, a nightmare of sorts, come to life that's 180 degrees the other direction. And really it's going to clamp down on the way that we use the Internet and how the Internet has grown, especially these past 10 years. 400 pages of rule, 1,777 footnotes, lawyers, and it's a work project for the lawyers, Permanent Employment Act for lawyers that work the telecom space, because we'll be talking about this for years to figure out what this clear rule actually means for the Internet.
Wow. And, you know, as I said, people have been debating it, and I got a lot of interesting phone calls and emails. And the defenders are saying, well, what's the big deal? I mean, we have certainly it's not going to affect us because we're talking about ultimately the bigger companies. And how is that going to affect the mere individual, to which you would say?
The big deal is this. We've had 10 years of almost unbridled Internet growth as a result of really the government taking its foot off the throat of industry and letting it grow and prosper. And we have tremendous services, offerings, devices as a result. This is 180 degrees in the other direction. It overturns 40 years of this deregulatory trajectory that the FCC actually had been embarked upon, and consumers had reaped tremendous benefit as a result. Now we have the FCC sue this new mousetrap, is sitting in the innovation czar seat, the catbird seat, for really with companies going to it to ask permission if they can innovate or not for the consumer. It wasn't that way. It shouldn't be that way, but it is now that way.
Wow. So the only recourse is really through the government, through your representative, through Congress, in other words, and also through the courts. So do you see some challenges there?
Yeah, I think in the next 60 days, what we're going to see is the first of the appeals that gets noticed in the Federal Register, and that sort of tolls the bell. Likely large and small companies, especially ISPs, the people delivering the last mile that are really immediately harmed by this will be appealing this. We'll see if the rule gets stayed or if it goes forward until the result of the appeal. I think at the shortest we're looking at is anywhere from 2 to 4 years through the appeals process. If it goes the full length, it will go to the Supreme Court. Many important issues, First Amendment, Fifth Amendment, and other issues are at play here. Probably the only thing that would short-circuit that is the 16 elections. And if we got a conservative in the White House, that would change the face of the FCC and could theoretically either not prosecute the rule or change the rule altogether. So we're in this sort of limbo period right now.
As you said, Mike, this is like a 180, and you know, you were reading the tea leaves, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You were out there, you were saying, hey, it's some red flags. Did you expect the president to jump into this fray?
I've been writing about this for a number of years, and he did campaign in 2008 on so-called net neutrality or the open Internet. And we did see, you know, in 2010, the FCC tried to implement a lighter version of this rule, got slapped down for the second time by the federal courts. I did not expect to see him come out in November so openly, so notoriously, and say, this is the rule that I expect the FCC to go ahead and do. And quite frankly, many of us believe that actually the FCC sat in the back seat here, the expert independent agency, and let the White House write this rule. The Wall Street Journal, in fact, flat out says that the White House wrote the rule, and that's a great concern. So I think initially I thought that cooler heads would prevail. We'd get kind of a rule because that was where we were going, but not this until the president said, I want, you know, this heavy-handed 1934-style rule to go into effect.
And you know, there was something that came out, and I actually read the statement that you put out. I loved it, because what you said in your comparison, to really get people to understand this, you said that by the 400-page net neutrality order that came out on the 12th, you said that it's the single most anti-speech and information law since, I love this, Woodrow Wilson's takeover of the telephone networks in 1918. And that's the thing I think that people don't understand. We're talking about classifying it as a utility, correct?
Yeah, and really worse, I think that we're slouching toward TV and broadcasting regulation with all its controls on content. And that's the thing that concerns me the most. I mean, now they have all these hooks, and they've been talking about this for a little while, but I hear stuff that they were talking about in 1949 to justify the Fairness Doctrine. You know, it's a pervasive medium. It's ubiquitous. It's easy to access. It's important. It's scarce. The spectrum is scarce. These are all the same things that they used to implement content controls on the broadcasters. And I believe in my heart that they look at the internet. They're scared of the internet, the administration, government generally, but they look at it like TV, and then some, like as I wrote in my statement, like an amplifier turned on 11. And so they must control it. And the biggest part and the biggest concern for me is the control of content, and then secondly, the control of market information that allows companies to profit and to drive new services to consumers. That's being limited too. So it's a double whammy. It's terrible any way you look at it.
Yeah, I bet when all this happened and flipped around, were your phone lines just blowing up?
Oh, absolutely. And really, the community that I work in, it was like we were punched in the face. I don't think, you know, we were warned by one of the FCC commissioners, Ajit Pai, a month ago, saying this is worse than you could possibly imagine. And, you know, was that hyperbolic? No one could tell, because it was a rule that no one was able to see but him and the other commissioners. In looking at the rule now, it is. It's worse. It's a takeover of the internet by the FCC and the president.
Yeah, and I think, and I'm so happy that you came on the show, because people in the nooks and crannies and around the United States are listening to us right now, and then that question mark that they don't understand, well, I'm not sure, because, you know, people came up to me, they said, is it true the president's taking over the internet, and wanted me to explain that. And here's the other part of this, has anyone read the 400 pages?
I'm reading them. Yeah, I mean that's the Full Employment Act for telecom lawyers for the next 10 years. I mean, we're going to be reading every one of these pages. And, you know, the FCC officials kind of belittle the 400 pages. Well, it's only 8 effective pages of rules when you get down to it. Well, you know, the executive summary runs over 15 pages right there. I mean, it's so clear. We've got an executive summary that's 15 pages. It took 400 pages to explain the rules. And literally, I will, and many like me, will read every page of that rule, every footnote, to divine what's in that rule and how it affects people's interests going forward. We're going to be talking about this for years.
Yeah, absolutely, because like you say, too, as we see it roll out, let's see what the effect is, and I think that's what's going to happen. Okay, this happens, you know, and now what does it mean a year from now? What does it mean a year and a half from now? What about the challenges? And you're right, we're going to be talking about it for a very long time. Mike Wendy, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Kay, and have a good day.
Attention CPAP users! Stop the insanity and torture of your CPAP mask. Don't you hate the skin irritation and terrible leaks? Jump on the CPAP Pro train, invented by an actual CPAP user that became so frustrated with CPAP masks. Are you ready to try something new? With absolutely no straps or headgear, go to nomask.com and get the best night's sleep ever. Free to Medicare patients. Go to nomask.com. That's NOMASK.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.